Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I wanna hear
her
say,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time.
Ooh, I just wanna hear her say, well,
one time,
one time,
one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time.
All I wanna do is hear you say it
one time.
Write my name in the book, call me
one time.
That's all I really need, just
one time.
I can't wait till I see you
one time.
Keep going, have it back. You fill me with love, so I'll give it back to you. You give me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold Street, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that life. Can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days until I finally stop breathing. Yeah.
Again, We thank God, Father God, we come giving you all honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration.
Yes.
We come exalting your name above all names, for there's no one
thank
greater
you.
Than you. Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you come and have your way. We welcome you to have your way in us right now.
Yes,
Father God,
Holy
we ask
Spirit,
in Jesus'
welcome.
Name, holy name, that you touch every heart and mind right now. Lord, open up the channels of our spirit to receive all that you have for us to receive right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for your word, for your word is true. Your word brings healing, deliverance, peace, joy, and happiness. The word redeems us, justifies us, makes all things new. And we just want to say thank you, O God. Lord, we ask, O God, that you bless us with revelation and knowledge and understanding of your word. As we study your word, Father God, we come against every hindrance spirit, every spirit of confusion and doubt and disbelief. We command you to cease your works right now and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against every rebellious spirit right now. We come against every spirit of the accuser and brother. We come against every spirit outside of the Holy Spirit that maybe operate in this Bible study on today. And we command you to cease your works and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you, O God, for revelation and knowledge and understanding. For your word says that your people perish for the lack of knowledge. So, Lord, we ask that you give us our knowledge and wisdom on today in the name of Jesus Christ. And we shall not perish, but we shall live a life that is full and eternal life because we believe. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. And we all say amen, amen, amen. Welcome, sisters and brothers to Bible study. Good evening, sister Connie. Good evening, women of God. Hallelujah. As you all know, some people we have to continue to send messages out to remind them is Bible study. The Bible study is every Wednesday. So I did not send out a message today. I was like, hey, by now we all should know Wednesday at 7 is Bible study. Amen. So we thank God for this time. And thank you all for being in Bible study. We're still studying strongholds. We're wrapping up today on strongholds. I hope you all have learned a lot from strongholds, you know, as we're studying the series. And not just learning, but understanding how to apply what you have learned to your daily life,
yes,
so that you can live a life that is full, a life that you are delivered, that you're set free, you know, to go about and live as God intended us to live in Christ Jesus. So I pray that all is being blessed by this series as we're wrapping it up, and we may come back to it later, you know, later on sometime. You know, we have always continued to study, so it doesn't slip our minds. Because, you know, if you don't study it, you don't comprehend it. You will forget. If you're not practicing it every day, it'll slip away from you. So we'll all be kind of come back and so we can stay in that place. Because if you don't, you'll forget it. You'll lose it, you know. They say, if you don't use it, guess what? You'll lose it. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. We have to go back to those things to remind us and what the Word of God says. And we thank God for the Word of God. So you all, again, I won't be recapping from last week. We just got to go forward so we can wrap up. Studying the series of strongholds, we're putting down strongholds today. So we're now going to go over this time. We're going to talk about the primacy of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times people hear about the Holy Spirit, they truly don't understand, you know, the Holy Spirit, how to operate, how we get the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today in this series. We're going to talk about the primacy of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, so far, you all, we have been established the fact that Jesus meets with us when we are led together by the Spirit of God into his name. So that's how Jesus meets with us. Again, that we are led together by the Holy Spirit into his name, in the name of Jesus. So we must never leave out the Holy Spirit, you all, as we gather together. Never leave out the Holy Spirit as we gather together, okay? So you're changing up a major failure of you know, charismatic movement, you all. I don't know if you've ever been in the service and you have charismatic pastors, you know, they're charismatic in the way that they preach and they teach and get things over. So the movement is that we have slighted the Holy Spirit in this. So we talk a lot about him, then ignore him. We go through our rituals, our performances, and our programs. But if the Holy Spirit has a different idea, we give him virtually no opportunity to lead us, to teach us. I know we have, you know, one thing about me and my husband, the Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit is always present. You know, we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. But sometimes people, because they're trying to stick to a schedule, stick to a certain way of doing things, they will hinder the Holy Spirit, or they'll stop the Holy Spirit from moving in the place, in the service. And it's very important that we don't do that, but we allow the Holy Spirit to move in all that we do. So it's very important, because a lot of people that are hindered for the Spirit to stop it, you know, for the sake of man or for the sake of woman, to please the man or woman, to stay in order with the service. When the Holy Spirit is moving, you all ever pray with me, you know, that when the Holy Spirit is present, I let the Holy Spirit just have its way, whether it's in church service, whether there's a prayer call, a Bible study, whatever the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, because the Holy Spirit is to lead us and guide us. It's the truth. And so it'll give us what people need. A lot of times we think we know what everybody needs, but the Holy Spirit knows all, knows the unknown. You know, even when we're praying, it will give us what to pray. You'll find yourself praying sometimes, you know, prayers that you don't even know where they came from. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into pray and what to, you know, what the people need, will tell us what the people need. So it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and never lead off the Holy Spirit. So him virtually, unless the Holy Spirit has no opportunity to lead us or to teach us. So isn't that often true? I know it is for me. I've been in places where that's happened. It may be a difficult realization for us, but like it or not, in some ways there is no group of believers more of ritualistic than charismatic. So the only difference is that we do not have a written liturgy, you all. And so with that being said, you all, we just have to make sure that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to have its way. All right. So nobody starts churches but Jesus, you all. You have people saying they started a church, and, oh, I started my church over here. I'm the founder. I'm the, you know, the owner of the church. But understand that nobody starts churches but Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You hear people saying all the time that they started a church, or I started up my church, and, you know, and they understand that nobody starts churches but Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We can organize, we can plan, we can promote, we can build, but churches are, you are the work of the Lord. It is the work of the Lord. And so we have to understand that. Nobody starts churches, but I see some people are coming in there to Bible study. Just want to let you all know right now, we are talking about the primacy of the Holy Spirit. We're wrapping up a series of pulling down strongholds today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Again, if you missed any part of it, you can always go back. The Bible studies are archived. So understanding, and as you're coming here, we're talking about here that nobody starts church but Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we can organize, we can plan, we can promote, we can build, but churches are the of the Lord. It is God's work. You all understand that God's appointed to be, and that's what the Lord is doing, not man and not woman. He is head of all, over all things to the church, which is his body. Find it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. He is head over all things to the church, which is his body. Okay? So if we understand Paul's teaching in Ephesians, a true church is built on a foundation of apostles and prophets who are appointed by Christ and are led by the Spirit. The Spirit.
Yeah.
Again, if you're just now coming in, you probably you missed a little bit of Bible study here, but you can always go back and archive so you can understand what we're talking about so far. So anyway, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, you all, even the book in Ephesians, I question whether anything built on another foundation is acknowledged by God as a church. So I personally believe there's hundreds of thousands of groups of buildings even here in America that people call churches, but God does not recognize them as such. They do not fulfill his basic requirements. It is time to let the Holy Spirit have his way, you all. Let the Holy Spirit have. If you see in a service that, you know, you can tell, I've been in places, and I'm not talking to anyone where the Holy Spirit wasn't present. There was no power. The Holy Ghost, you know, they knew the scripture, they preached the word, but there was no power. The Holy Spirit was not present. Or they did not allow the Holy, they hindered the Holy Spirit from having his way in that service because they wanted to stay in order with the service so the service could run because of time. You know, they stopped the Holy Spirit from having his way. So do you realize who the Holy Spirit is from it? Ask that question. Do you realize who the Holy Spirit is? Do you recognize that he is a person? The Holy Spirit is a person.
Yeah.
He has the key to the storehouse of God. Again, you all, the Holy Spirit is a person. He has the key to the storehouse of God. All the wealth of God, the Father and the God is the Son, is administered by the Spirit. So it is worthwhile making friends with him, you all. You can be a child of God, but live like a poor person or pauper until you become friends with the Holy Spirit. He is very sensitive, you all. The Holy Spirit is very, very sensitive, like a dove. Like a dove is very sensitive. He is easily driven away. Understand, he's easily driven away. So if you develop the wrong attitude or motivation, the dove flies off. So understand, the Holy Spirit is very sensitive, very sensitive. You all, again, he's like a dove. You can write that down. So you can, you know, you may have to give it to somebody else and to explain it to them. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is very sensitive. And you can drive the Holy Spirit away by your attitude. He is like a dove. He's easily driven away. So if you develop the wrong attitude or motivation, the dove flies away. So the Holy Spirit will leave you, will fly away. It will come off of you. So understand that there is only one nature that the dove will settle upon, and that is the nature of Jesus Christ. Now, John the Baptist said of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We're looking at John chapter 1, verse 29. Then he said, "I saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him," in verse 32. So what is the nature of the Lamb of God? In my simple understanding, the Lamb embodies three traits: purity, meekness, and a light sacrificially laid down. So the Holy Spirit will remain on a nature that has these traits. So you may be touched by the Holy Spirit one moment, but 10 minutes later find yourself far from him. Write that down, because he is choosy about where he settles. Understand, he's choosy. You can be in the Spirit, you speak in tongues and you got all the Spirit, you can sit all over you, and then the next moment it's gone. He's gone. So he's very choosy about where he settles. Remember what he emphasized from Matthew chapter 18 and 20. You all, as many as have been led by the Holy Spirit into the name of Jesus. Jesus essentially said, "You can count on my being there, but you must meet the condition. Our meeting place is not the baptism with the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues or water baptism or legacy of Luther or Calvin or Wesley or anyone else. One meeting place is in the name of Jesus." Understand it. In the name of Jesus is the meeting place. Write that down, you all, so you can have that for your information, for your life. For your life. This is a lifestyle. This is not a, you know, one kind of thing you do with, hey, and you're in. It's not like getting a tattoo. I got it. Now I'm done. I'm finished. No, this is a lifestyle. And every day you must practice. You must exercise. You must exercise that in your life. So you may believe that, whether you may believe what I'm saying to be true, you are, but the question is, what are you going to do about it? It is up to each of us to make a response to this truth. So as we're going to talk about now, our companion, our friend, you all, how do we respond to this challenging nature, this challenging matter of being led by the Holy Spirit into the name of Jesus? So we get some helpful insight from Psalms chapter 1 and 122, you all, and here, in which there is an amazing description of Jerusalem in just two verses, you all. And it's in Psalms chapter, come again. Psalms 122, verse 3 through 4. The Bible says, "Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord." So the Hebrew term here that is translated compact together is a beautiful word. It is the word from which we get the modern Hebrew word kabar. It means a companion or a close friend. So do you see what makes Jerusalem significant here? It is the place where the Lord has put his name. And when the tribes of Israel went to the city of Jerusalem three times every year, as God had commanded, they were testifying, "The Lord who dwells in Jerusalem, the Lord who has put his name in Jerusalem, is our God." So that is why we all go to get, that's why we all go there. Whether we are from the tribe of Benjamin or Manasseh or Ephraim, it's not significant. What is important is our destination, where we are headed. What is important is the place where we meet. So that is the place where the Lord has said his name. Amen. So the same principle applies to us today. So when we, as God's people, come together into the name of the Lord. We are testifying about who our God is. Moreover, when we are where we belong in that place or in the place where God has put his name, and as we worship him, we are also in the strongest and most secure place. So we can fulfill our responsibilities of waging spiritual warfare, pulling down strongholds, and defeating Satan. If you're just now getting into Bible study, part of it. We're wrapping up strongholds today. So we'll be finished with this series. And you can go back, because we're talking about the supremacy of the Holy Spirit, and we're wrapping up that right now. So you can go back and these shows are archived, or these Bible studies are archived. So you can always go back to catch up what we're talking about. Does anybody have any questions before we go any further? Because we're going to wrap this up today. Anybody? Farina, you have any questions? Sister Mackie, Phillips, Connie, anybody?
No, ma'am.
No.
God bless.
God bless you, too. All right, just want to make sure. You'll understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. We talked about that. So if you just came in, Holy Spirit is a person. He's very sensitive. And he will, the Holy Spirit will come out for you. If you, one moment you can have the Holy Spirit, the next minute 10 minutes later or a minute later, he can, Holy Spirit will rise off you like a dove because of your attitude or wrong motivation. I'm just kind of giving y'all just a little bit of briefing and understanding. The Holy Spirit is a person, and if you want to keep the Holy Spirit, you need to check your attitude and your motives and stuff like that in life. Remember to always, get yourself back in that place of Christ-like and operating like Christ. We're human and, we fall down, but we don't stay down. That means you get angry. Things don't happen your way. You do something that's out of the will of God, but you pick yourself back up and you get back in that place. Don't say that the enemy wants to stay, keep you there or make you feel guilty and shame and to condemn you. But get back up again, because Jesus Christ, he died for us so that you can get back up again. He didn't die for you to stay there. He died so you can get back up again. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So you all, we're going to continue here. We're going to talk about now finding our true roots. Understand that finding our true roots, they have this thing, what is it called? Where you can get your DNA, you can go all the way back to find out your lineages, your family, like your family tree, where you come from.
Ancestry.com.
Where you can go back and, find your roots and, where you come from and your ancestors and stuff like that. And so we're going to talk about finding our true roots, and find out, is that really important? What does the Bible say about that? And what does it have to do with strongholds and pulling down strongholds? Because a lot of times we deal with, family curses, and once we know it, we keep it. We know our family is cursed, we tend to keep it and keep speaking it up and talking about it and this. And how do we kill that once and for all? And understand that we're no longer connected to that. We're connected. We are connected to Jesus Christ. We're in a different bloodline here. So, as we conclude, we're at right now, like I said, we're going to be wrapping up strongholds today. Let us explore one more stronghold that we need to pull down in our lives. And the stronghold of holding on to our past. That's a stronghold, holding on to our past. This can be a stronghold of pride in our heritage or our accomplishments, or it can be a stronghold of feelings of insecurity or shame due to a negative family history or a personal failing, you all. Either way, the past can bind us, and hinder our spiritual effectiveness if we let it. So it's very, very, very important, that we understand how that affects us. Can we let go of those things in the past, even things we had nothing to do with in our ancestors? They may have cheated people. They may have been killers. They have been everything else. When you look back in your past, start talking about, mama's brother's like that, or grandfather, great-great-granddaddy was like this. How do we let go of that? How is that affecting us? So we, as, here in America, in this nation, are patiently prone to thinking about our roots. We're prone to thinking about our roots, where we come from. Like I said, they started having this thing some years ago, Ancestry.com, to find out, about your ancestors, where you come from. You have Indian, you have white, you have Russian. People are intrigued with that to find out. So here, where we are in this land, we have all these different immigrants whose roots are in many nations of the world. So, you know, people wanted to know where we come from. It's a mixture here. So understand how important is that, you know, in itself. So, you know, my point is that people often have a strong desire to know in general where they come from or where their roots are. And I think God puts that desire within us. Yet when we don't like what we discover about our roots, it can influence the way we think about ourselves and even hinder our effectiveness in waging spiritual warfare. And so we learn how to pull those strongholds down to let go our past. So we're going to talk about here our wonderful spiritual heritage, you all, our wonderful spiritual heritage, you know, that we have, our spiritual heritage, not our physical, but our spiritual heritage. So one of the great problems you are of multitudes of people today, particularly young people, is that they are ruthless. They, and I'm going to say it again, they are ruthless, R-O-O-T-L-E-S-S. They are ruthless. They really don't know where they came from, where they belong, or where they fit in. So I want to tell you that as Christians, we have strong spiritual roots that we need to recognize. So it's fine to look back to, you know, Wesley or Luther or Calvin, but that is not where our roots are. We have roots that go back a lot further in history than that at all. So we have to understand that. So let's read in Romans, you all. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 17 through 18. So in which Paul was writing to the Gentiles here. Romans chapter 11, verse 17 to 18 says, and if some of the branches, the real Israelites, were broken off, which is from their own olive tree, by unbelief, and you, being a raw olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You all, that's Romans chapter 11, verse 17 to 18. So when Paul said it's necessary, okay, you have it? Paul said, y'all have that Romans chapter 11? Make sure I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, I have. Amen. Amen.
I don't want to verse too fast for the sake of finishing. I know we've been on it for a while, but I want to make sure everybody got it. So here when Paul said, it's necessary, and it's their warning from contemporary church. So we must never become arrogant toward Israel. So our roots are in the patriots, in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their faith in God, you all, and their blessing from him. So we have a wonderful root system, so one that has endured 4,000 years, you all, of tumultuous history. So did you know that no other tree lives as long as an olive tree? No other tree lives longer than an olive tree. So that is the tree Paul was talking about, the olive tree of God's chosen people, found in a man named Abraham, the father of a great multitude, the father of a new nation. So you may be embarrassed about your human ancestry, but always remember that in Jesus Christ, the old things have passed away. Therefore, we look at 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, 17 through 18, and I quote this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but amen. 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 I don't have to be associated with my past and my bloodline, the roots of where I come from. You know, maybe distorted, maybe corrupt. No. I'm in Christ. And I mean all things have passed away. All things have passed away. All things are new. And everything about me, I mean everything. I don't care what nobody say. So all things. So remember that you are. So we're talking about your new spiritual ancestry through Christ Jesus. So understand that some Christians who lack a sense of self-worth and security because they are not satisfied with their family backgrounds, you know, it'll cause us to grieve. So we must realize that our natural ancestry is the old that has passed away. Understand, I'm going to say it again. We must realize that our natural ancestry is the old and that has passed away. We are being engrafted into God's own olive tree so that we have, y'all, we have a new spiritual ancestry. Our ancestry goes back to the men whom God chose to be the root system of a people who were to endure through history and through all ages. Amen. So, y'all, for example, a number of people, y'all, do take pride or satisfaction in their natural heritage. You know, they'll talk about it, they'll brag about it, about, you know, where they come from, the kings and the queens and stuff like that. But, y'all, we have to be thanking God that we're connected now through Christ Jesus. So we have a new spiritual ancestry, and that's something to rejoice about. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. Amen. I'm so thankful. So we have a much better root system than that, you know. Then when the natural, anybody can say about their background, or, you know, where they came from and their ancestors and how they were kings and queens, or they own this and they own that. We have a much better root system than that. And anyone can have in the natural, and it is in Abraham. Consider these words from Romans chapter 4:11. It says, and he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, meaning not Jews, that righteousness may be imputed to them also. And that's Romans, you all, chapter 4, verse 11. So who is our father? If we are believers, Abraham, as a further confirmation, we read, let us read the declaration here in Galatians 3:29. You all, Galatians 3:29 said, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, you all, we have a wonderful heritage. There is no one who can lord it over us. You may come across aristocratic families from different parts of the world, Europe, whose ancestry goes back 1,000 years. But understand this, in Abraham, we go back 4,000 years and much further back than that in the relation to the eternal plans of God. So all pedigree, faith in the Bible, that is something to be excited about, you all. That's something to rejoice about. It's something to be thankful for. So if only we as Christians could realize that what we have become in Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have many of the problems of insecurity and the lack of self-worth that trouble people today. You know, if we truly understand that, and I think when you get to that point in your life where you do, you will not be, you know, won't be dealing with the problem of insecurity and the lack of self-worth that a lot of people are dealing with, even, you know, in the body of Christ. You know, they don't have that understanding. Does anyone have any questions before I move on? We're going to be wrapping up here soon. We got about 27 minutes.
What was the last one you said? Was it Revelation?
No. I said Galatians.
Who?
Galatians.
Chapter 3, verse 29.
Okay. I have a question that I've been wondering about. Circumcision. I get kind of confused with that.
Okay. I'll answer it right after we finish this, because I want to wrap up the series here, and then we'll talk about the, you know, you want to know about circumcision.
Yeah, what, I heard you mentioned circumcision in the verse, so I need to know something about that.
Oh, okay, so you want to add something outside of the stronghold, but you just want to have a question about. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, that was in Romans chapter 4:11, when it says, and he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteous of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised. Okay, so what's the question? Where's the man in the call, too?
Yeah, what that means. Because I get confused with the circumcision. One is flesh, and then what's the other one?
Well, that was a sign for, that was for Abraham when God called him into the covenant that they got circumcised. That's for the Jewish men. So now that our hearts are circumcised, and not the physical circumcision, this is a spiritual being, but your heart being circumcised. So it's not just for the circumcised, but also for the uncircumcised. So we are circumcised off the heart.
I got you. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Pastor Mandy, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Amen.
Just want to make sure that hopefully I answered that correctly for you understood each other. Thanks, Sharon.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. All right. Because a lot of times people going, I need to circumcise my child. No, that's the old covenant. That's the old covenant. Whether it's circumcised or uncircumcised, we abide in my Christ Jesus and all. He came for all. And, you know, he came for the Jews. He also came for the believers, the unbelievers, the Gentiles. He came for everyone. And so he was received, you know, by the Gentiles more than he was received by his own, the Jews, who he came from, because they didn't believe that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of God. So.
Right.
That's why
I was getting confused with the flesh and then the heart.
Right.
I got it now.
Right. Okay. All right. Amen. We thank God for understanding here. It's important. All right. So we're going to talk about it. Someone else had a question? Okay. So we're going to talk about now the beloved by God, you all. So we're going to go to Psalms 45, chapter 45, verse 1 and 2. We're going to talk about here just about how God revealed how deeply God cherishes us, each one of us, every last one of us. So it is found in a beautiful misounding of Psalm, which is here in Psalm 45, 1 and 2. And someone can read that for me. It is a picture of the Messiah. Now, there's only one person who corresponds to the person described in this psalm here in Psalm 45, 1 and 2, and that is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. So it is very important for you, for me, for us to see this picture because it is so wonderful. Pastor, you want to read that for me? You got the Bible open there? Psalm 45, chapter 45, verse 1 and 2?
You're saying 45? Psalms 45?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Psalms 45, verses 1 and 2. My heart is overflowing with good things. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Everyone. It says, my heart is overflowing with good things. I can recite my composition conceiving the key. My tongue is open. My tongue is the pen of a reading letter.
Mm-hmm. And
you said two?
Uh-huh.
In verse two? Okay.
Yeah.
You are farther than the sons of man. Grace is pouring upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever.
Amen. So it says, you are fairer than the son of man. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. When we look at chapter 1 here as well, says my heart is overflowing with a good thing. I will state my composition. Concerning the king, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So this is addressed to the king who is Jesus Christ here. So notice the word, therefore, why did God bless Jesus? Because of the grace of his lips. That is the reason why. Why did God bless Jesus? And the reason is because of the grace of his lips. When we look at Psalms 45, verse 3 through 6, the Bible says, gird your sword upon your thigh, Almighty One, with your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously, because of truth, humility, and righteousness. Now, this refers to God's king. So, and your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of a king's enemies. The people fall under you. And this refers to a conviction of sin. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So please notice that Jesus is addressed here as God. Oh, that the Jewish people could see that. That is the Messianic, you are Messianic king, and he is called God. So let us, you all, read again here in Psalms 45, verse 6 through 7. Let's read this again. Your throne, it says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed blessed you. So these words are addressed from God to God. God has blessed you, God. So that shows us that there are at least two persons who are called God. And why has God blessed God? Because if you, listen to what I'm saying, because if you love righteousness and hate wickedness, therefore God, your God, has anointed, blessed you. So this, that is one way to get blessed, to love righteousness and to hate wickedness. All right, you all, so we're going to look here in Psalms 45, verse 7 through 8 here. So Bible says, therefore God, your God, y'all go with me so you can see what I'm seeing. Psalms 45, verse 7 through 8. Pastor, you there? Read that for me. Psalms 45, chapter 45, verse 7 through 8. Pastor, read that for me. Go ahead. We're still in Psalms, chapter 45, 7 through 8.
45, 7 through 8.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You love the righteousness and you hate the wickedness. Therefore, God.
You on 7 and 8? It should therefore God, your God.
That's the one you just read? Okay. 45, 7.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, read it. Just read it.
Okay.
Start at 7 through 8. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, 7 through 8. He said, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with all gladness more than your companions. He says, all your garments are scented with the myrrh and aloe and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces by which you have made you glad.
Amen. So now please pay careful attention, y'all, to the next verse you're going to go here. We'll go to verse 9 because it is the conclusion we have been pulling, we have been building up to all this time. I'll go ahead to verse 9.
Verse 9. Daughters are among honorable women. At your right hand stand the queens of the gold and the Oprah.
Yes. So, y'all, who is the queen bride? Who is the queen bride here? It's the church. The queen bride here is the church. She is the church. Us, me, you, all. She is the church, meaning us. So, you are asked who is the queen bride? She is the church, us. So, next, y'all, is the advice that relates to what we have been saying, you know, about our church or our earthly roots. Which is going to be in verse 10. Go ahead, Pastor. Verse 10.
Verse 10. Listen, O daughters. Consider and incline your ears. Forget your own people also and your father's house.
Amen. So here the farmers were saying, forget where you came from. It is not relevant. Could that be any clearer, you all? Could that be any clearer? Forget where you came from because that's not relevant. We must no longer be bogged down by our nationality, our denomination, or any other aspect of our background. In order to qualify to be the bride of Christ, we must come out of all of that. We have to come out of all of that. When we look at the next chapter, verse 11, again, forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Worship him. Worship him. That's verse 11. Worship him. That is a picture of God, of what Jesus wants us to be. How do we attain it? How do we attain to that? How do we become that? By not placing our lives foundation or self-worth on our Father's house and on our own people, and by entering into our wonderful spiritual heritage. Amen. Our wonderful spiritual heritage, you all. Again, by not placing our life foundation or our self-worth on our Father's house and on our own people, and by entering into our wonderful spiritual heritage. I hope after today you all will disconnect, you know, from that in the past and know that you're connecting into your spiritual heritage and receiving, operating that from now and here on out. Because where you came from and your family, that doesn't matter. It's not relevant. It's not relevant in Christ. Not relevant. We let that go. We hold on to Christ. We walk in it. We live in it. All right, you all. Okay, so you all, we're going to look at verse 45 and 16 here. The final promise we will read here is in Psalm 45, and it's found in verse 16. That's Psalm 45, verse 16. It says, instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. So let us not worry so much about the past. Let's not be so concerned about our ancestral or ecclesiastical history, you all, or our academic or our vocational accomplishments. Instead, let us focus on the fact that God will give us sons, his people, and his work that will become like prince rulers for God in all the earth. Y'all, we don't have to worry about, you know, people worry about so much that's going on, especially with the election. You have to understand that God is in control. I understand we have to disconnect ourselves from those things because, for one, it will consume you. It will take you down and take you under. So we're going to wrap up here. You are wrapping up this. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. So much has been learned. Bringing back to my memory as well, as others have learned for the first time for some of us and learning how to apply to our daily life, use it. Use it. As I say, write it down. Take notes. Take good notes for yourself. And that way you can, you know, give it to someone else freely. You receive freely, you shall give to others and help others. Don't just keep it to yourself. You know, you can tell us, you know what you're talking about. Spread it. Spread the word. Yeah. We're going to talk about here, we wrap up this prayer about how to place it in our life, in your life. We have to, you know, make a decision. You all, we have to finally make a decision. Are we going to stick with the high places? Are we going to maintain the places of worship that are essentially denominational? Or are we going to be tied down by these things forever? Are we going to destroy the high places and declare that there is only one way to come together, and that is acceptable to God, to be led together by the Spirit of God and into the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior? It should be clear to you now that this latter step honors the Holy Spirit. It honors Jesus. It honors God the Father. So when we meet on any other basis, it is not the same. So, oh God, it's very gracious. Oh, my Lord, we thank you. He is very patient, just as he was to the king who permitted worship on the high places. So, but during all that time, he was longing for a king who would carry through the reform and remove the high places. So, personally, I believe that the Lord is feeling where we are situated in this move of God. So we have come so far, and yet some of us have gone back to the denominationalism. Now, that is not the will of God. The will of God is to remove the high places. Now, this does not mean you can't say, I was a Lutheran or I was a Baptist or a member of some other denomination. You can give your history to people, but do not let it dictate your conduct, okay? Forget your father's house and your own people, and the king will greatly desire your beauty. And so in this way, you all, you will remove the high places that keep us and keep you from entering to your full inheritance as Christ's beloved ones, okay? So you all, I hope you all get it and understand. Does anybody have any questions? As we're going to wrap up, we have about 12 minutes here, and we're going to conclude pulling down strongholds. Anybody have any questions? Okay.
So then as we
secure our position, or as you secure your position in Jesus, and as you are built up in the Spirit, you will live in his love and power, and you will be able to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. So as Jesus declared, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And we all know that's in Matthew 16 and 18. Again, that's Matthew 16 and 18. If you want to write that down, the Bible says, and this is Jesus saying, Jesus declared, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's Matthew 16 and 18. So again, secure your position in Jesus. And as you are built up in the Spirit, you will live in his love and power, and you will be able to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. Amen. So right now we're going to make some declarations as we close out, pulling down strongholds. We thank God for this opportunity. We thank God for all the material, all the wisdom and the knowledge and scriptures and understanding of it. So we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ,
thank
and that we're able
thank
to apply this to our daily lives, so that we may live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, and that we may minister to ye one another, that the believer may be steadfast in their faith, and the unbeliever may ask, how can I be saved? And we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
So you all, we have examined,
two key aspects
we've been learning here. We've examined two key aspects of spiritual warfare that you may not have considered before, pulling down strongholds individually and in the nation, nationally, and removing the high places. They represent two very important spiritual activities that will enable you to weigh each individual battle in spiritual warfare and to engage with fellow Christians in corporate battles as you come together in the name of Jesus Christ, pulling down national strongholds and remove the high places. So the time has come for our action. Prayer and declaration are good ways to embed in your spiritual life and destiny the principles we have examined. So you all, will you join me here in making the following declaration? And we can say it together. Lord,
I recognize that by virtue of my relationship with you,
I have entered into active warfare. With the kingdom of Satan. Yes. My first step is to declare
My absolute allegiance to you.
Lord Jesus, the captain of the Lord's host, and my Lord and Savior. I commit myself to you. And your leadership. Unreservedly. And I place my life fully in your hands. As your word explains.
I equip myself.
Now with the full armor of God.
So that I can stand victorious in this battle.
I also pull down.
In the name of Jesus.
Any stronghold or strong man.
In my life.
That hinders me. Lord Jesus.
Help me in this battle.
So that I can follow you.
Without obstruction.
Lord, I remove any high places. In my life. That may be hindering me.
Any allegiance?
In your legion.
Our religious practices.
That may be offensive to you.
I lay it down now.
Lord. And I place it at your feet.
And I place it at your feet.
I will join with my fellow believers.
I will join with my fellow believers.
And coming together. Into that place. That God the Father. That's authorized for worship.
Into the mighty.
In the powerful name of Jesus. Now, Lord. All that I am, and all that I have. I commit fully to you. I offer myself.
Thank you, Lord.
To you. As one who will engage in spiritual warfare. For the sake of your kingdom. One who will pull down. Strongholds.
Strongholds.
In your name. Not only individuals.
Strongholds.
But also national ones. I will be one who removes the high places. In my own life. And in the realm of the church. Please use me.
For the sake of your kingdom.
And your eternal purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you all. God bless you. God bless you. We have finished.
Hallelujah.
And we thank God for all that we've learned. Does anyone have any questions, any concerns, or comments as we wrap up here? Anyone? Or maybe something you've learned here, you know, during this time. We've been setting strongholds for probably over a month now. And it's been good to me. It's been really, really good. I thank God for it.
Yes, amen.
Anybody have any questions or comments? Pastor Manny?
Feel stronger.
Amen.
Feel stronger.
Sister
Manny?
I have something. Amen.
Wiser.
Amen. You feel wiser, Sister Manny?
Yeah.
Yes. What about you, Sister Dillard?
Amen.
You feel what?
I'm good.
You feel, You feel wiser? You've learned something? You gained knowledge?
Yeah, I gained some knowledge. I learned some things. I'm going to finish reading all these little chapters. I'm starting from the first and going down to the whole, you know, the whole verse of it.
Amen.
So I can grasp her.
Yes. Amen. If you have any other questions, let us know. Please let us know. And Sister Connie, what about you?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you all. You all, we're this week is really going my fast. Y'all, we're approaching the holidays. God bless you all. Y'all be safe. It's November. Thanksgiving is coming up. And we'll be here tomorrow at the Preacher and the Pastor Show at 8 p.m. I will start next Monday with the shout. So I'm looking forward to that and seeing how that's going to run. That's at 12 p.m. The 12:30.
It's going to
be a good time.
They miss me. The 12 o'clock. Vinny texted me. She sent me a message and they missed me on the noon. Everybody missing at noon time. You know they so used to the noon.
Yeah, that's when most people be on at noon.
Say 11:59. They say boo. Ain't no problem. Ain't nobody on the line.
Yes, we'll be there at 12. I got messages from people, too, that missed it. So we thank God for it. We'll be back on there at 12, but we'll be on this platform, an 845 number. So we're going to have a good time. It's going to be from 12 to 12:30. So it won't be an hour, but it'll be 12 to 12:30.
Yeah.
And then I hear Sister Max said she ready to get into the building. We'll be in the building next year. We only got 2 more months to go before we'll be in the building. We're going to meet up. Remember, we're the gospel of the ministry. Yeah. So we are called to go to the streets and the highways and the byways to bring the word of God. So we'll be out there. Remember, we'll be out feeding the homeless and minister, giving that word of God. If you have any like blankets because it's getting cold or socks, we want to collect those for the people in need in the street. Yeah, so we want to collect those items and stuff like that that we can give out. And then I want to try to adopt a complex or a nursing home where we can, you know, we can help supply the needs there as well. Because you got people that are in their homes that are in need. You know, they don't have food. You know, they don't have the necessities. So we want to be able to help those people as well. Because a lot of people go out to the street and help those people that are homeless, but nobody comes and knock on the door to the person that don't have food to eat. Lights are not on. The kids are in need. So we want to be able to help those people as well. They have a shelter, and that's all they have. They don't have the necessities. So we want to be able to help those people too. So
Amen.
We want to do that. God bless you all.
If anybody know anyone, let us know.
Anyone
so, you
that's
know
anyone
that's
in need. Yeah.
Telephone number or some kind of way we can contact them.
Yeah. Especially during these times, it's hard. It's hard. You know, you want to have, you know, especially that you're getting assistance and you want to try to have Thanksgiving for your family. You don't even have enough to do that. So if we can help, we definitely want to help. So if let's adopt a family. If you find somebody's family in need that we can adopt as a church family to help, you know, during these times. And it's you know, it was hard before now. And then with the pandemic, it's hard for a lot of people to even, you know, have food to eat. People are losing their jobs. You know, unemployment is not paying, the extra. So people just barely getting a little bit of money. And so let's do that. Let's help. Mm-hmm. We've been called to serve. It ain't about the title that I have or we have, but we all been called to serve one another. And so we want to help. And you all, God bless you. I look forward to next week. You know what Bible said it's going to be. I just want to see what God is going to give us. We'll be studying next week. I'm always excited for whatever God has for us to receive. God bless you. We love you. You all enjoy your night. All right.
Enjoy
I love you all. We love you.
Love you.
We here. God bless you all. Have a good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
One time,
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 gift, gonna have it back. You fill me with love, so I'll give it back to you. You